Father, we want to say thank you for your word. I want to say thank you for the promises that we receive in Scripture. Thank you for the encouragement that comes through your word. And Lord, I ask that your word would always have its effect, the desired effect that you would achieve through the means of your word to bring about the glorification of the name of Jesus on this planet, in our country, in our city, and in our lives. Lord, we want your name to be glorified. We want our prayers to be in line with your mission. We want our lives to be in line with the purposes for which you have put us on this planet. Lord, I pray that your word would bring each of us closer into alignment. May this word remind us that one day we will stand before you, our King, King Jesus, and we will give an account for our lives of all that we have done, how we have treated your servants and your people, how we have treated those who are called according to your name, and how we have treated those who are not. And Lord, I pray that our behavior would be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, I know that you constantly work on us. You're constantly changing us and molding us and shaping us, bringing us greater into greater and greater conformity with your will. Please give us hearts that are tender and submissive. And Jesus, please forgive us when we're rebellious. Please forgive us when we reject what we know you're leading us to do. But God, give us strength and courage to stand up and do all that you call us to do in our lifetimes. May we, like David, it be said of us, it was said of him, that he lived out the purposes that you had for him during his days. May each of us live according to those purposes. And Lord, I pray that you'd make them clear what they are. And every time we encounter your word, we know what those purposes are. So God, let your will be done this morning. Let it have its effect on us. Through Christ, I pray. Amen. No doubt every one of us have experienced personal tragedy in life. And the closer we are to that personal tragedy, the greater the impact that it has on our lives. The further we are removed from tragedy, the more distant and the less impact it has on us. And in fact, you can probably think through events in your lifetime that have been tragic, national events that have shaped you and pulled you into action, caused you to change the direction of your life. As I was thinking about this, what are the things that have shaped the sort of the soul of a generation? I thought about my parents, and if I could ask my mom what was the most significant experience of her early life, she would have said the assassination of JFK. It was something that she constantly remembered. She knew where she was on November 22nd, 1963. And many of us have experienced those kinds of events in our lifetime where we know it's made an impression on our souls. For others of us, perhaps my generation, one of the first things that came to my mind when I thought about this was the Challenger disaster. Many of you remember that, 1986, January 28. You remember where you were? We were off. We had a snow day where I was. We were out of school. Others of you, as you move on through time, some of you will remember September 11th. Remember those bombings. It's amazing how the impact has on us. JFK was one person, and the Challenger involved 7 crew members. 202,996 died in New York that day. Others of us, as we think of those who are younger, I ask around, what's the most significant personal tragedy that you can remember? And it was the Boston Marathon bombing 2 years ago. Many remember that. Our younger guys remember it. 6 people dying, 280 were injured. It's not the number necessarily that affects us. It's the event. And yet there is a tragedy which happens every day in this country that we seem to be relatively unaffected by. Today is National Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and The tragedy that is on my mind is the murder of unborn children. 43 years ago, January 22nd, Roe v. Wade was passed. And since then, 58,586,246 children have been executed in the womb, have been murdered in the womb. It's about 3,300 every day. And it's a tragedy. And it doesn't seem to affect us as a nation, as I believe this kind of tragedy should. When we aren't personally involved, it's easy for us to overlook. And as I thought about this issue, one thing that struck me is I would love to see abortion abolished in my lifetime. That would be wonderful. And I don't know if we'll live to see it, but I wondered if my kids might our children live to see that tragedy reversed? I wonder if some of them would rise up and stand up and make a difference. Some of our kids that were sitting here among us. So today I have you in mind. You who are under 20, I have you in mind. I'm aiming my thoughts and prayers towards you because you can make a difference in what happens in the next generation. It's up to us to let our voice be heard. Because I just can't comprehend that number, 58,586,246. That's incomprehensible. It would be like waking up tomorrow morning and hearing that almost all of the East Coast has suddenly disappeared. That's all 14 states, the population of all of New England, of New York, what else? Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and New Jersey combined. That's staggering. This ought to move us, but it doesn't. We have been told a lie that it's not wrong. Many of us think it's right. We've been taught that it's a right. It's not a right. It's a very grievous wrong. And yet I know if statistics are correct, about 20 women in this room will have experienced an abortion. You will have walked through it. Some of you have told me this. I know you're here. And so as we wrestle with an issue, my prayer has been that you would not hear a voice of condemnation from some man, but that you would hear an invitation to forgiveness from God. That's why I began the service the way I did. I was praying that every one of us, whether you're a husband who asked for it, or a boyfriend who demanded it, or a father who paid for it, or a wife or a girl who has gone through it, there is forgiveness for all sins in Christ. If we confess our sins and turn away and repent, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all sins. All of our sins. The Bible does not say He only forgives some. He doesn't just forgive some of our sins. He forgives all of them. And not only does He just forgive us and then leave us in some distant place of alienation. He forgives us. He cleanses us of righteousness. What's the point of cleansing? So you can be brought near. So that we can enjoy the fellowship of the Lord. That's what we're shooting for. Because we will give an account of our lives. That verse that Andrew just read speaks of a day of judgment for all people of all nations. Verse 31 in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and before Him will be gathered all nations, and He will separate one people from another as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. This is Jesus talking about Himself, by the way. We're in the middle of a series called Jesus Said What? Let me read you those words one more time. This is Jesus talking about Himself, the Son of Man, who says, when the Son of Man, He's talking about Himself. That was His favorite word for referring to Himself. The Son of Man comes in all of His glory with all the angels. This man, Jesus, who we will stand before one day, commands the hosts of heaven, and he will take his glorious throne. It will be Jesus that we stand before one day. Unbelievable that Jesus would say something like this to his disciples talking about a future event. I want that day to be glorious for every one of you and good and something we look forward to. The only way that day when every one of us will stand before God and give an account of our lives, the only way it will be good and glorious is if you know your sins are forgiven and washed away and completely cleansed. Do you know that this morning? Do you know that you know that you know that all of your sins are washed away? I pray you do. Because this is the Jesus who makes it possible. And Jesus says, our treatment of the least of these, his brothers and sisters, is what that judgment will be based upon that day. Matthew 25:40, the king will answer them and say, after all those who have treated well, they fed him, they took care of him, I'll say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me. To the unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom, he will say to them, truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the, to the least of these, you did it not to me. In the context, the phrase, the least of these, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is referring to his disciples, those who are called according to his name. But Jesus, staggeringly, in another, in Matthew, Mark's gospel, he makes a connection between how we treat the lowly, how we treat the helpless, the insignificant, with how we treat him. And he says this in Mark 9, he took a child. Jesus was big on illustrations. He took a child. He put them in the midst of them, and he take him in his arms, he said, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Jesus is concerned about how we treat the insignificant, the helpless, and the defenseless. What we do in the name of Jesus to the least of these, his brothers and sisters, is what we do to Jesus. How we treat the most fragile of God's creative work directly relates to how we treat him. The connection is unavoidable. Why? Because God has created all life. All life comes from the intentional work of God the Father. If we go back to Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God formed man out of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. Life comes from the personal, intentional activity of God himself. He breathed into us. He formed us. The psalmist writes, we're shaped, knit together by the fingers of God. Every human being is created in the image of God. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. All men and all women are created in the image of God. This is why murder is forbidden. In Genesis 9, God says, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. Meaning, it's a personal attack upon God himself when we shed the blood of one another. Any human being, all of us are created in the image of God. Whether we're very small or very large, it makes no difference. We're all created in the image of God. And he hates the shedding of blood, of innocent blood. Proverbs 6:16-17. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Abortion is the shedding of innocent blood. And the Lord hates it. And he promises judgment against those who do so. Psalm 106, talking about his own covenant people, of how they engaged in this. Verse 37 in 106. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Verse 40, then the anger of the Lord was kindled against him, against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. And he gave them into the hands of the nations, so that those who hated them ruled over them. The United States is polluted with the innocent blood of 58,586,246 tiny human beings. Yet, if we amend our ways, our gracious God will forgive. And so he says, and through the prophet Jeremiah, if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice one with another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, if you do not go after other gods, whether it's personal autonomy or career or comfort or ease or whatever it is, if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place. Sometimes I am amazed by the fact that this country still exists because of God's grace. And so, who will make the difference? One day this will be stopped. Abortion will be put to an end. And it could be any one of us, anyone who would be willing to let our voice be heard. And I was reminded as I was praying about this, you might think, what can we do? We can't make a difference, right? Who can stop all this? We're in a machine that is unchangeable. Nothing can happen. I can't do a thing. I cannot make a difference. And I was reminded of a story that I read. Chuck Colson, loving God, shared a story about a fifth century monk named Telemachus, who in a season of prayer felt the Lord leading him to go to Rome. He'd never been outside of his little village, and yet he was compelled to go to Rome. And so, being compelled, he felt he should be obedient to what the Lord was leading him to do. And so off to Rome he goes by himself, terrified, actually, of what he might find. Rome was a large city. He's never been out of a tiny little village. And yet he obediently follows all the way to Rome, not knowing exactly for what reason the Lord was inviting him to go. He arrives in Rome at a time of festival, and crowds and people are pouring into the Colosseum. He, not knowing what to do, actually, just follows the crowd into the Colosseum. And as he arrives into the Colosseum, he begins to see there's these two men standing in the floor who are shouting to Caesar and hailing him that those who are about to die, we hail you. He's stunned by what he sees, not quite sure how to take it all in. And yet, as this battle unfolds, he suddenly is hit with the reality that these men are going to fight to the death. And he is a monk devoted to service of God. How can this crowd of people stand here and watch this and say nothing? And yet he cannot ignore what he sees. He cannot turn away and comfortably go back to his own little world. And so he begins to shout, "In the name of Christ, stop!" And of course, in a Colosseum filled with crowds and throngs of people, his little voice is not heard. So he rushes to the edge of the perimeter wall, and he begins to shout still, "In the name of Christ, stop!" No one takes notice. So he hops the wall down onto the floor of the Colosseum and tries to get between the two gladiators, still shouting, "In the name of Christ, stop!" One smacks him aside, and the crowd cheers. This is great. They thought it was all part of the act, evidently. And he stands up again, "In the name of Christ, stop!" Well, now he's getting annoying. And so one of the gladiators slashed him across the chest and stomach, and he fell bleeding to the ground. And his last words, "In the name of Christ, stop!" At that point, the Colosseum became rather quiet. And suddenly, from the top, a handful of people walked out. And then a handful more slowly walked out. And then a few more followed until the Colosseum emptied. It was in 404 AD. And it was the last time that there was ever people celebrating and cheering at the sight of shedding of blood. Evidently, one voice does make a difference. Evidently, one person can change things. In 1973, when the Supreme Court voted to affirm abortion on demand, they thought they had settled the issue. They thought the voices would be silent. There has never ceased to be an outcry that this is wrong. Just because murder has suddenly become legal in certain circumstances does not make it right. And I believe as long as God's people are obedient to the call of the Lord, there will never cease to be a voice among us who will stand up and say, in the name of Christ, stop. We must continue to stand for truth and for justice. And you might be thinking, what can I do? And remember, I'm aiming at you who are less than 20. If you have a cell phone, which I think if you're under 20, you're like born with one in your hand. I found an interesting app. It's called Abolish Abortion, put out by Students for Life. It's great. You can learn about every week of gestation and follow fetal development. There's one section that has an entire apologetics section on how to argue for life, on how to understand arguments that are thrown back upon those of us who would say that abortion is wrong. It's really good. So far, it's only available for those who have an iPhone, an iPad, or an iPod, but Android app is in development. So if you have an Apple device, try it out. Download it. Get educated. It'll tell you the list of every pregnancy care center in the neighborhood, except BCPC is not on it, and I couldn't figure out how to get them on it, but you can get educated. See what you can learn. Understand how to defend. Because there are those among us who are standing, like Telemachus, and saying, in the name of Christ, stop. One of them is here with us this morning. I've invited Chris Gleason from Boston Center for Pregnancy Choices to come and share with us for a couple minutes on what they are up to, what they're doing. We partner with BCPC. They're one of the missionaries, organizations that we support, because we want to be involved. I want every one of you to be involved. You met Andrew Beckwith, who is the president of the Massachusetts Institute of Family, who has a wonderful reading voice. Wish I had a voice like his. It's fantastic, man. You can read every Sunday for all I care. I want you to know him. So Chris is going to come. There's a table at the back. At the end, Chris will be on one side. Matthew will be on the other side for you to be able to meet with folks to find out, what can we do? How can we get involved? So, Chris, would you come?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
A business, you walk into an institution, you walk into a church, what you find happening is usually starts at the top. And your church is incredibly, not just friendly, but really engages people. Evan right here, I met. Michael, I met. Was it Mark? Is that right? David, I met. That there were, everywhere I went, somebody was engaging me and introducing. Liz that I met. And I want to say, well done. You and Elisa. That's tremendous, because I don't think you could get in here and get out of here without somebody welcoming you and making you feel warm and welcome. So thank you. We are so thankful for Hope Christian Church. You all have supported our ministry for, I asked Pastor Todd, we don't even know, a long time. And as I look around, I see familiar faces, because you're involved in all kinds of ways. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being such great partners in life. Because that's one of the things we believe, is that God has called us as believers to create culture of life everywhere we go. One of my favorite verses says, God has put within your mouth, in your tongue, the power of life and death. blessing and cursing. And then God says, if you don't know what to do, he says, choose life. And everywhere we go, you do not need someone's permission to speak life. Did you know that? Everywhere you go, you get to speak life in your home, in your job, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your community, because when you do, you're bringing the kingdom of God. And sorry if I get carried a little away. I'm also a preacher, so it's always, I told Pastor Todd, it's always a little dangerous to give another preacher your mic, but we think that this is an amazing time. As Pastor Todd alluded to, the March for Life takes place in Washington, D.C. on the 22nd of January every year, has for 43 years. I was there 2 years ago, and it was freezing cold. This year, it was snowing. You know, D.C. has had a little bit of snow in the last few days. But you know, there are over 250,000 people. Hear me, 250,000 people. The vast majority would be young families and young people, college age, high school age. I was at the Student for Life conference 2 years ago. They do it just before the March for Life. There were 3,000 high school and college age young people committed to abortion ending in their lifetime. And these kids are serious. I'll tell you what, I was standing there, I go, these guys are courageous. I'm a wimp. These guys are courageous. These young people in their college campuses. There's one girl, she was from, where was it? I think it was University of Alabama, had started a pro-life organization, has come under fire by everybody from the top to the bottom, and she says, I don't care. Bring it on. We're going to stand. We have a constitutional right to stand. We're going to stand. And I said, man, Lord, may I be as courageous as these young people. So, there's two verses I want to mention real quick. One's in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. And this is the part I didn't add, that both you and your descendants may live.
Yeah.
Isn't that so powerful? It's not just that we would live, but that you and your descendants may live. And then John 10:10, most of us know that verse, says, the enemy has come to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But then Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. This is the joy that we come to experience when we know Christ. And as Pastor Todd was saying, for all of us, and I think our heart goes out to anyone that has walked through the pain of abortion, whether you yourself have done that, whether it's been, as he said, a boyfriend, a husband who's paid for it, a father, a mother that has dictated it. But there is grace and there is forgiveness. We have a lot of wonderful things going on in our organization. If you're not familiar with us, we exist to help women and men choose life for the baby inside of them and life for themselves in Christ. We get a chance to see people change their mind in both categories because we understand we want them to give this life in them a chance to be everything that God has created them to be. But how important that they would themselves know Christ, that they can know grace, forgiveness, and his eternal purpose for them. There's a few things. He mentioned the statistics. They're really sobering that 1 out of 3 women in America by the age of 45 will have had an abortion. Right now in New York City and Washington, D.C., there are more abortions than live births that take place every year. Millennials, a third of your generation is missing. Anytime you're in a room, look around and say there should be 30% more of us here than there are. You hear those and it's just, it's incomprehensible. Over 58 million in America, over 1.28 billion worldwide. Since 1973. What do we do about it? Well, you know the shocking part? It's not just a cultural problem, it's a church problem. When surveyed, 43% of women obtaining abortions identified themselves as Protestants, and 27% identify themselves as Catholics. 18% identify as born-again or evangelical Christians. That's 1/4 of 1 million abortions in Bible-believing churches. So what role do we play? Live a life of truth. I was talking with Michael before. I said, you know, one of the things is that says the Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. It's a hard message that your pastor's given, but the Holy Spirit can only use truth. And so if we think we can speak half-truths or mostly truth or somehow lower the bar on it and the Holy Spirit can change lives, it's impossible. He can only work with that which is true. But we don't do it with joy. We do it with a heart that's broken. And help to create a culture of life. Everywhere you go, speak life. Not just in this issue, in every issue. Because we live in a world that's harsh. People get beat up everywhere they go, and we bring joy, we bring hope, we bring life, we bring truth in love. So I want to just mention three ways that you might consider partnering with us. Do you know there's only three things that we all have? Time, talents, and treasures. So what talents do you have? What skills has God given you? I mean, what a blessing to find out that you have someone that is a worship. He's not a song leader. He's a worship leader. I could tell that the minute that he hit the guitar, even before he started to sing, this man worships. This man loves to worship Jesus. But what gifts are sitting in here? We just have gotten into a new space, and I'm sure some of you are aware, we're going through the process to get licensed as a clinic so we can offer ultrasounds. That's a big deal. Because most people, when they see a picture of a baby, not a blob of tissue, and there's a heart beating, they go, "That's my baby." Yeah. So we know it's important, and we also know that's why the enemy is pushing hard against us. It may come news to you, but the city of Boston is not the most pro-life city on the planet. Pray for us. We're going through the process. We knew we had submitted our application. We knew they were going to reject it because it's not zoned for a clinic. So we have to get a conditional use permit. We just submitted that appeal of all days on January 22nd. That went into the zoning department. And so we'll be getting a date to go before their board to make an appeal. Pray for grace and favor. So we're going to have to do some construction. Maybe somebody have construction skills, IT skills. We need somebody desperately that's got great IT skills. We need some people that have all kinds of different abilities. Some of it's just time. You say, you know what, I've got one day I'd like to come in for a few hours. Man, we'd love to have you come bless us so we can bless you. Treasures, would you consider partnering with us? Would you consider being a monthly partner? That's probably one of the greatest things for us because we can budget around those that make a commitment monthly. Or maybe you just say, you know what, I'd like to bless you with a first-time gift. Is that something God would put in your heart? And then again, time. Can you come? Can you serve in some capacity? We have a lot of different ways that you can serve, and you can come back and I can share those with you. But one of the greatest needs we have right now, we call them MIT classes. They're mothers in training. It's both for mothers and fathers. But as you can imagine, a lot of those that come in and decide to keep their baby, they don't know how to be a parent. A lot of them have not had good examples. And so we help them to learn all those things, how to change a diaper, how to feed a baby, all those things that we think are fairly important. Would you have teaching experience? Would you be a mom? You know, if you've been a mom, you're experienced. You're ready. And we can use you several times, actually, I think about four times during the year we have these classes. So this is the other real great thing I want to put out today before I'm done, is Pastor Todd mentioned that there's somewhere around 40 million women and men in America that are post-abortive. There are many of them sitting in our churches, there are many of them sitting in our communities, in our jobs, in our schools, and the vast majority of them really don't know they can be forgiven. There was a couple of years ago, a lady that I knew, she came and she talked to me. 35 years before, she had had an abortion. Had never told a single person. I was the first person she ever told. I thought, that's crazy. I'm a guy. Why would you trust me? But I was someone that was actually having this conversation, and she says, I've lived under a cloud of shame for 35 years every single day. Trust me, and I know this is true of your pastors. I know this is true of us. There is nobody here passing judgment. But we want every person to be free. And one of the things that we do is we do post-abortive Bible studies. It's called Forgiven and Set Free. And let me tell you what, you will come out of that knowing you have been forgiven and you will be set free. And you don't need to come up to me, because I understand that could be, you know, a little bit, you know, you might be concerned. But if that's you, there's a phone number on the bottom of this card that you got. Would you call it or consider emailing? The email goes directly to our director. Her name is Sarah Loy. Many of you have met her. If you call, just remember Sarah. Ask for Sarah. She's, if you've heard her story, she had an abortion many years ago, and Christ forgave her and set her free. It's why she does what she does. Consider being a part of that. If you know someone, maybe you know someone. They don't have to be a believer. We do ones for people who don't know Jesus yet. I want to close telling two quick stories that really share the joys and the challenges that we face. There was a young lady a few months ago came in, committed to have an abortion. I would say about 70% of our clients come in, we call them abortion-minded. They have already determined they're going to have an abortion. She was one of those people. She sat down with our counselor, walked through everything, and the Holy Spirit grabbed her and she changed her mind. She said, I get it, this is my baby, I got to have the baby. She goes home. Her mom says, if you do not have an abortion, I will kick you out of the house and you will have nowhere to live. She ends up going under duress and having an abortion. Calls days later, distraught, broken, knowing that she took the life of her child. But then there was another lady, came a few months earlier, same situation. But she already had been told by her mom that if she had this baby, that she would kick her out of the home. And she came in and said, I know that this is a baby. I've got to have this child. We were able to reach out to another ministry that works and helps find unwed mothers a home to live in. And so we were able to connect her with a family. This family took her into their home. She became part of their family. She lived with them through the birth of her daughter. They became adoptive grandparents. She's now living in her own home with her daughter. The relationship with her mom has been mended. Her mom now loves her granddaughter, loves her daughter. They are still a voice in her life. There are so many broken people in our world. And it's hard. Sometimes we look at it and go, how could they possibly make this decision? I can understand. When you're giving options that seem impossible, we've been told by our culture that it really is not a life, and why should that ruin the rest of your life? It's hard to even know what truth is. But we have the opportunity every day to sit down with women and men and speak that which is true, to know and experience the love of Christ. So I just want to encourage you, if you want to know more about us, come back and see me. Feel free to call, come and see us. But thank you. Thank you for, and I'll tell you what, I want to applaud your pastor, because he is a courageous man. Because there are a lot of pastors in our nation right now would never stand up here and give that message. And you hear it in his heart. He's not giving this with anything but a broken heart. But he's courageous. Be thankful that you have pastors like that who will speak the truth in love unapologetically, because that's where transformation lives. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Todd, and we all heard a very sobering message today. We should all walk away impacted from this day and changed. But the one scripture that comes to mind is, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And us as Christians, we have to remember that it's the love of God that reaches across the aisle, that gives reconciliation and forgiveness and healing to women. As the gentleman said, just count three. Just count. We're all touched by this, every one of us.
So let's remember when we walk away to be that person that lets that person cry on our shoulder. That women who are struggling with an unplanned pregnancy, struggling with the after effects of abortion, that they have a friend who will listen and not judge and not be critical. So let's all take away today some tidbits from what we've heard and let us be changed. And Father, I want to thank you so much for Todd. I met him by accident. It's been 1 year that I've been coming here, and I've been truly changed. I want to thank you for his willingness to reach across, to talk about things that sometimes people don't feel are appropriate or that are piercing. I want to thank you for this body of believers. I want to thank you for the outreach done through this church, this vessel, over to places like the Pregnancy Resource Center. And I want to reach out, Lord, to the community of Winchester and the surrounding communities, Lord, that need to see Christians in action, not just spectators, participants in the game, Lord. Because, Father, there's a lot that we can do to help people in this situation and to help women in this situation. We thank you for the word that's come forth. We pray protection in 2016 over the folks, the soldiers that are in this fight. And we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.